Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Brunch here on this Wednesday, September 12th, 8 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast. As always, my name is Joe Caputo, joined by my co-host, Chris Malicki. Chris, no intro again, so you know what that means.
Yeah, our boy is going to be creeping in soon. We'll be ready for him. It should be any second now. But we have a great show coming up. You know, we have the first weekend of football to recap. I'm very excited for this Beat the Brunch segment. It's really added a nice flair to the show, especially during football season where everybody has, you know, the same old boring picks. It's a good thing we added this year. And, Joe, I want to thank you for holding up the good name of the brunch. I was unable to do that this week. But Gallo,
this is what makes it so difficult for the contestants is that
exactly.
You know, one of us
and
has
you're,
an off week.
You're leading me.
Right.
You're leading me in two games. You had a 4-0 Sunday. Gallo did not beat the brunch. His number one lock of the week, that was a 9.5-point favorite, they wound up losing outright, which, you know, was not really the best outcome for him there. But it's okay, Mike. Maybe you can, you know, have Nicole join
welcome
in the contest
to the one and only Brunch Network, where thousands tune
right
in weekly to listen to our hosts roll out of bed and talk all things sports and gambling. Now, for the guys that help cure all your hangovers.
He was late today, very late.
You know, he's just a little slow, that's all.
Chris, what did you text me here? I don't know what you're
welcome
referring
to. Welcome
to
the one and only Brunch Network, where
what's
thousands
happening
tune in weekly to listen to
we're
our hosts roll out of bed and talk all things sports and gambling.
Right,
now,
dude,
for the guys that help cure all your hangovers.
All right, that's
apologize for the technical difficulties.
You asked me, how are you going to do on those? What was that in reference to?
I don't know. Let me see.
I don't know. You texted me, and I
now
don't know
have
what it's
to
referring to. All right, whatever.
How are you gonna do? When was this?
I don't know. It says 6:54, which is an hour ago, but
I did
maybe
text you an hour. Oh, it was the model. It was a baseball one. I was talking about your baseball over-under win total bets.
Oh.
Because I'm realizing
good
we
thing
get
to,
the Giants one locked in.
Yeah, it's a good thing to bring up on the brunch. I think I'm gonna lose two. I lost the Pirates for sure. I had under 74.5. They're going over.
Tough one.
And then the other one I lost was the Indians. I had them over 94.5. They're not gonna get there. I think I won all the other ones though. I think I'm gonna go 5-2. I think that's 7.
Nice. That's great. And hey, speaking of baseball, the model once again it's getting back on track. They're doing very well. Joe, you've bet every day essentially almost with the model all year.
Yeah.
How many units
yeah.
are you up to date?
I'm plus 25 after the two losses.
All
today,
right.
So.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So we've got a few more weeks. So make sure to keep following the model, keep betting with the model. I mean, you know, I didn't really bet any football this week. I don't really bet too much football. I was betting the model all day and had a nice little 3-1 day. So,
I'm telling you. So NFL season is the best time to bet baseball. They don't pay attention to the lines anymore.
They don't. It's great. So keep following. We have it public still. You can check it out on the Brunch Twitter account. Speaking of the Brunch Twitter account, speaking of the Brunch, we have the Brunch Madness. The finals, it's over. In another route, we have Cinnamon Toast Crunch just steamrolling its way to the championship. Arguably more dominant than Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in the first Brunch Madness. I mean, it was just a no-brainer here. What else? Do you have anything else? And congratulations, too. We didn't even speak about this in the last one, I think. But I believe Steve Sternick is your Brunch Madness champion. So
shout
Steve
to Scuba
will be
Steve.
Receiving, yeah, Scuba Steve will be receiving his brunch T-shirt complimentary of us. And do you have any closing thoughts? As we come to yet again the end of another Brunch Madness, and
I feel like
it was a little chalky, not too crazy.
We already kind of covered everything last week because we were talking about how dominant Cinnamon Toast Crunch had been, and they didn't do anything to rewrite that script. I mean, it was kind of just exactly what we thought was going to happen. So, you know, I don't really have any additional thoughts to add, but I have been getting I got another text message yesterday from a brunch listener that is gave me another idea for Brunch Madness. So there are a lot of future ideas, and we're going to have to sift through some of them. I will say this. There's a decent shot that the next Brunch Madness is going to be – I'm not going to say it's guaranteed, it's definite, but there, one of these in the future is going to be 32 instead of 64. It's getting tough to find things that you could fill up a 64 team bracket with.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy, but that does not mean – that Brunch Madness ends. It does not mean that Brunch Madness sleeps. We are gonna have a full-on season of Brunch Madness. We're going to keep going. I believe we started it at the beginning of the year, just about, with a candy bracket. And at the very least, we should have one more before the end of 2018. So congrats to Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I saw they gave a little victory speech on Twitter, so
yeah,
you can check that out.
They were silent the whole tournament, and then right after they won, they came out on Twitter and gave a congratulatory speech. So
how about that gif we found for the tweet? I mean, how perfect was that? It was some deranged-looking kid just taking a huge box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, shaking it above his head in victory, and it was perfect for Brunch Madness. So,
I'll tell you what. I didn't realize the Padres were up 5-0.
It's nice.
The brunch social media handler has been on top of this game the last couple weeks. We've had some beauty sent out there.
It's been good,
including
stuff.
The newspaper clipping from Gallo's debacle last week.
Yes, Ryan Gatos reporting. Just a tough one for Gallo. But we don't want to hammer it home. We'll get to our Beat the Brunch later in the show for our new contestant. Joe, you said the Padres were up 5-0. That's great. We bet on them. I'm seeing right now that the A's are up 10-0 on Baltimore.
Yeah, that team is ridiculous.
I mean, I suppose that the days of you asking me if I'm worried are over. So, Joe, are you worried about the Oakland A's?
Yeah. I mean, am I worried about – I'm worried that we're going to have to play them, and they're way better than the Twins were last year. But also, I think it's 2 right now in the standings.
It is 2.
Which is not as bad because the Yankees do have the tiebreaker. So it's really like 3. But that's not necessarily comforting still because – it doesn't seem like these A's want to lose anytime soon. So, the worry has set in here on September 12th.
Yeah, and the Yankees do have 6 more against the Red Sox. And as we saw last night, it doesn't really matter if this team is pretty much cruising till October. They don't seem to want to lose either. So we'll get to some baseball, though. As we get closer to the postseason, we will definitely give you some great coverage for the postseason as, you know, you would think, I don't want to jinx it, but it seems at least relatively likely we will get the long-awaited Yanks-Sox showdown, provided that the Yankees hold up their end of the bargain.
Yeah, I don't know if likely is the proper word there.
Well, let's put it this way. The Yankees are likely to win, or they are likely to be hosting the wild card game. The Red Sox are almost definitely going to be the one seed, and the Yankees will be favored in that game. So,
yeah,
I would say somewhat likely.
So, there's a greater than 50% chance, I guess?
Sure. Could be 55.
Who's pitching for the Yankees? Oh, man. Who throws that game for the Yanks?
It's interesting. I was just watching MLB TV, and they were they mentioned that. One guy said Tanaka, but not for long.
Tanaka's been very good.
Game. And the other guy said Hap, and then turn it to a bullpen game.
Yeah.
Let him get through the order once around. It's crazy, and I mean he'll be starting tonight, so we'll see how he does. It's crazy that Luis Severino seems to not only is he no longer the front runner, he may be on his way out of the conversation.
Yeah, I think he's the 3 right now. I really don't think they pitched Severino if the game was today.
That's crazy.
And I don't really think
it's crazy.
It's not like he's had 3 bad starts in a row. I mean, this has been going on since July, probably, maybe
That's
even
right.
earlier
That's
than
true,
that.
That's true, but I was looking at the splits, though, and the past couple of months, his advanced numbers are not as bad.
No, they're not.
As you would think.
He's given up more home runs, which I always think home runs are skill related. So if his home runs are up, that means he's doing something differently than he was doing in the beginning of the year. Yes, he's been extremely unlucky, but I don't know if I want a guy with. I mean, we bash ERA a lot, but I don't know if I want a guy with a 6 ERA in the second half pitching a wild card game. When you got, I mean, it's not like people are saying J.A. Happ and Tanaka as like people are saying it jokingly. They're like, oh, can you believe these two over Severino? Those two guys are very good. It's not like throwing Tanaka or J.A. Happ is waving the white flag. I mean, I still have full confidence in either one of them to throw a good game. And Tanaka was outstanding in the playoffs for the Yankees last year. So he's been great, really, since April. He's been great. Ever since he came back from his injury, he's been tremendous. So I think Tanaka's your guy as of right now, but I could see J.A. Happ too. He's been awesome as well.
Yeah, and like I said, it's whoever gets that game, it is very likely to, you know, they're not going to have a very long leash. So we've got it'll be interesting to see the bullpen play a big factor, and as you mentioned, the home runs. The A's are a home running team, so I do wonder how the Yankees approach that. Also, of course, the question is what happens at the catcher position with Gary Sanchez. Now, obviously, neither of us believe that Gary Sanchez should be benched long term for Austin Romine. The defensive struggles are far outweighed by his hitting. Some people are now calling for Sanchez to DH the game, but then would you just lose Gardner though? I guess, right?
No, because if let's say Judge is back, which I don't know, it's still up in the air. But let's say Judge is back, you got to start Judge, Hicks, and Stanton. So not only are you losing Gardner, you're losing McCutchen as well. So
right, I forgot about McCutchen.
Why would you DH Sanchez? It's stupid.
I think it's funny what happens is. It's like he has one bad game, and the game in Oakland was especially bad. And that cannot happen in a wild card
right.
game.
But
right.
That was
awful. It's funny how, you know, it just takes one game, and everyone has to lose their minds. I would say it would make sense if the Yankees are leading that game and Romine comes in later on as a defensive replacement.
Yeah,
that's not
a bad idea.
Other than that, I agree. I mean, especially against the A's starting pitching with who the hell knows who they're going to start in that game. If you've got a lineup with Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton, yeah, they might. They should, actually. They really don't have anybody in Schumann.
They don't really have
Schumann.
I mean, Cahill was great.
Cahill got hurt today.
Oh, did he? Yeah, because he was falling off a cliff in the last few starts.
Yeah, he was falling off a cliff. And Manaea is going to be out for all of 2019, they're saying. So it's not exactly a foregone conclusion. Who the A's are going to start as well. But we will get to more of that. We'll have plenty of baseball. I'm watching Cubs Brewers right now on the TV, and they've got a close race as well. The Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Rockies are still tight. Looks like the Braves have wrapped it up. The NL wild card race is up in the air. And theoretically,
cannot believe the
still
Dodgers,
catch the
man.
Astros, although I don't sign it likely. Well, if the Dodgers – if the Rockies lose tonight, Dodgers are a half game back. I still think they win the division. But, yes, I agree. I mean, they just barely – they ended their, like, six-game losing streak to the Reds today. So they've got to step their shit up, especially when, you know, I keep putting the Dodgers lineup in the model, and, like, holy hell, against the Yankees, it's just a joke. Like, they're so good.
But they can't win games. And last year, by the way, on today's date last year, 91-36 the Dodgers were.
Yeah,
and then they went on that epic. Or actually, I think this was in the midst. They started 91-36. Then they went on an epic. I think 15 out of 17 they lost.
Right.
So that ever since then they haven't been the same. All right, let's get to some.
Yeah.
Let's get to some NFL here. We will go and we'll start. We're going to start with talking a little bit about last week. And you know, like no other sport, the first game in the NFL. Is just absolutely, incredibly, extraordinarily overanalyzed by everyone. And not only overanalyzed, but overreacted to. So let's start out, and we're going to go back, and we are going to play a long lost brunch favorite that we haven't been in a while.
Clear out your seats.
In.
Fuck yes, I'm in.
It's time to play.
Hey, you can't spell involved without an in.
In or out.
Chris, you remember this game?
Yeah, I invented it, and I invented it for football. So it's good to have InterOut back. I know some people may have fallen in love with the random topic InterOut, but for football, it's great, and especially after Week One, because like you said, Joe, we're going to talk about a bunch about Week One. We're going to talk everybody off the ledge of these overactions. I have a feeling that we will both be on the same page for a decent amount of these. And we, like we said, we don't want to overreact. So it's important to pick and choose, you know, which games you think are for real, which things that happened are going to continue. So that being said, I've got a handful of these beautiful in or outs just waiting to be discussed. And, Joe, why don't we get going with the team that arguably looked the best on Sunday? And that was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
They blew out the Chargers. I mean, that game, it was a 10-point game, but really wasn't that close. Patrick Mahomes looked phenomenal. He had the arm strength going. Tyreek Hill was just a monster. You had Travis Kelce wasn't even involved yet. Kareem Hunt started off slow, and the Chiefs beat the Chargers on the road. The Chargers, who were the presumptive the AFC West favorites, although I don't know how great I feel about that sometimes when you talk about it, because what have the Chargers done for us, like, ever? They just, you know, have all this hype and talent, and they can't seem to do it. They missed another field goal. But the Chiefs are the big story, and Pat Mahomes getting all this hype. This offense is so dynamic. You had the little shovel passes to Tyreek Hill, and you had the bombs from Patty Mac. Joe, the Chiefs are going to go to the AFC title game. I'm just going to assume they're going to play the Patriots, but are you in or out?
Out. I'm out on the Chiefs. They blew out the Patriots week one last year. The Chiefs, they...
And then they lost to Marcus Mariota in the playoffs at home.
Yeah. I mean, when Andy Reid looks good, he looks good. Andy Reid is a mastermind when his shit works. And then all of a sudden it stops working, and then he looks like garbage. I think that, you know, the Chiefs are going to have these games where they look really good, because Mahomes, I think he has the ability to be an excellent quarterback, but I don't think the consistency is going to be there for the Chiefs. And obviously there's not much to base this off of, because Mahomes has only played one game, and this is kind of going to be a trend with some of these in or outs, is that, you know, we have I'm already seeing we got Garoppolo later, we got Darnold to talk about. So, you know, we're going to see some of these guys that really haven't played that many games in the NFL. It's tough to grade Mahomes, but I can't. I mean, they got a punt return in this game to start the game. It was all uphill from there for the Chargers. So I think the Chiefs just played a really good game. It happened to be the first game of the season, and I'm out on them going to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I'm going to be out as well, Joe. I'm not high on the Chiefs either. I wasn't going into the season. Pat Mahomes could not have played better. It's only going to go downhill from here. I agree. Yes, we've only seen a couple game sample size, but at the same time, he's a rookie quarterback who's going to struggle with turnovers. He's going to be inconsistent. Yeah, he's got a rocket arm, and he's got all the talent in the world. It's going to take some time to put it together on a consistent basis. And all these little gadgets that Andy Reid is putting together, teams will catch on eventually. Now, the defense is another thing I want to talk about. They did a relatively good job against the Chargers, especially no Eric Berry. But this defense is not going to be good this year. I think the Chiefs are going to be in a lot of
throw for like 500 yards.
Yeah, the Chiefs are going to be in a lot of shootouts this year. Keep betting the overs on their games, because what happened last year with the Chiefs, it was interesting, and I'm looking at it. I'm going to be looking at it for some teams this year as well. The Chiefs were a bad defensive team last year. They were not very good. However, they had a reputation for being such a good defensive team for so long, and they had the big names. You know, they had like Tom Al-Hawley, Derek Johnson, a bunch of guys, and they just all kind of collectively aged too much at once, declined, and no one really kind of caught on to it. And it kind of became a little evident mid-season last year, although no one was talking about it. And the Chiefs' defense obviously was not very good to end the season. Marcus Mariota, as I said, tore them up in the playoffs. But now they're back the next year. They've lost a couple of those key guys, and Eric Berry is not playing right now. They traded Marcus Peters. They're in trouble on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't think people are really talking about that. So I am out on the Chiefs. I think they're going to be one of those teams that's going to be in a lot of shootouts and ultimately, you know, not really be able to keep up defensively against some of the better teams or some of the teams at least mentally tough, more mentally tough than the L.A. Chargers. Joe, we go to the Big Easy where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pulled off the week one. Honestly, I don't know. I was waiting for that game to keep going. I was with a bunch of people, and everyone kept saying, like, all right, now is the time we live bet the Saints money line. And I'm just like, I'm staying away from that. I actually picked the Bucs. It was too much, I think. You know, the Saints, they struggled quite a bit defensively, and if this defensive struggle keeps up, they could be in for a very mediocre year. But the Bucs are the big story because Ryan Fitzpatrick, he had a phenomenal game. He was throwing all over the yard, threw it to Deshaun Jackson. Mike Evans made a comeback. Thanks, Mike. Really needed that last season for my fantasy team, you asshole. And Chris Godwin was used well. It seems like Tampa Bay might have something here. I know that they kind of didn't play great defensively, but you're playing against Drew Brees at home. But the offensive looked good, and they are currently in a tie for first place. And if the Cowboys had somehow squeaked out a win there, they would be in first place all alone in a tough NFC South. Joe, the Bucs will be in this NFC South race. Are you in or
out? I think
out?
This is the toughest one on the docket today, I think. I'm going to say out because of their defense. But the Bucs, we've been talking about the Bucs. They've gotten hyped up, I think, the last 3 or 4 years. Every year people think the Bucs
are
going to break out.
Just getting, they're the hype monsters.
Exactly, but this is the first year that they really have not been hyped. Everyone thought they were going to be terrible
this
year.
Right,
right. So it's only natural in the NFL when no one expects anything from you. You're going to come out and you're going to play great.
Your Niners are screwed, man. They got all that hype. You don't want that hype.
I know. It was the worst.
A Cowboys got no hype this year. It was awful. No,
the Chargers
totally
and the Niners are the
you.
Same thing. The Bucs have an extremely great amount of weapons offensively. They're really well built offensively. I think it's just going to be a matter of can their defense play well. And what I saw is them giving up 40 points last game. So I know it was against the Saints. I really want to be in on this, but I just and I don't really like many of the NFC South teams. I did pick the Bucs to go over their win totals here. I'm reluctantly out, but I really want to be in, but I'm going to say out.
Yeah, the NFC South is weird. I mean, I honestly, like, Atlanta was my dark horse Super Bowl candidate. They looked terrible. The Saints somehow managed to make them look worse. Despite the win, Carolina, I just did not impress me to the point of Super Bowl contender, and I think Carolina is one of those teams where you're going to be like, yeah, they're good, but, you know. And then the Bucs are waiting in the wings, but I'm going to be out. And not just because of the defense, but also I'm just not really sold on this quarterback situation. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, how many years has he done this?
How many times has he done this?
Just to throw six picks in a game or something.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
of course, if in what could even be a worst-case scenario, Jameis Winston comes back, he could be worse. You don't really know. So the quarterback situation is not good here. All of them will be much, much worse than Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, and Cam Newton, although I don't know what the fuck's going on with Matt Ryan. This is a very strange division to figure out. One thing I do know is that the Bucs will not be there towards the end of the season in December. So I'm going to say out on the Bucs being in the NFC South race.
All right.
Now let's travel to the East Coast. As we are in the great state of New York, a state we love, we hold dear. And Joe, the Jets fans, do you hear them? They're partying.
Oh, my God.
They're all over Twitter. The savior is here. You know, it's funny. I have to say before I get into this, but I'm pretty sure that the Sam Darnold, the New York Post, I think, put out a cover that said a star is born after the Darnold.
Yeah, I saw that.
Decapitation of the Lions on Monday night. The same exact headline was used after Mark Sanchez made his debut and won. Geno Smith made his debut and won. So, you know, again, we go back to the one-game sample size. Let's all fill out here. Darnold started off rough, but he had the pick six, and he came back.
Chris,
you
still there?
He was very poised. Yeah, yeah. Can you hear me?
Huh. I can no longer hear you. Hold on. We lost Chris for a second. We're going to see if we can get him back. Chris, you there?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Oh, this is very interesting.
All right.
Oh, wait, there you are. All right, I got him. Good.
You got me?
We're good. Yeah.
Sorry. All right, okay. So going back to Sam Darnold before the Jets fan is trying to cut me off. Darnold looked very good, and the team obviously looked good around him. The special teams was good. The defense was good. But Darnold looked poised, and obviously the first game of his career, but there was something about Sam Darnold that really makes you think this is different. He's not a Mark Sanchez. He's not a Geno Smith, and I think he was there was a lot more hype coming in for Sam Darnold than those two. So I think Sam Darnold seems to be the real deal. And Joe, in a weak AFC conference, slamming Sammy, he's going to lead the Jets to a playoff spot. What do you think, in or out?
I mean, Chris, you got to pick your spots. You got to pick your spots for when you're going to overreact to the first week. This is a spot that I'm picking, and I'm going to say the New York Jets are playoff contenders, and they will go to the AFC playoffs this year. What was there not to like about that performance on Monday? They have a quarterback. Their receivers are good. I mean, and that was without Jermaine Kearse. Anunua and Anderson are good outside receivers. You have two running backs that are very solid running backs that complement each other well with Crowell and Powell. Their offense is built. It's strong. And then what they did to Matthew Stafford, this isn't just some scrub playing his first game. It looked like Stafford was the rookie on Monday night. They dismantled Matthew Stafford and putting Matt Patricia aside and the fact that the Lions just looked like complete garbage for a second, you still have to look at Stafford and say this has been one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league for the past 5 to 7 years. The Jets looked like a playoff team. I'm buying in. I'm in.
Well, Joe, I am going to have to join you on the Jets bandwagon because I am in. The Jets will make the playoffs behind Slammin' Sammy, Soho Sam, whatever you want to call him. He's going to have plenty of nicknames to go along. My dad texted me. I did not see the pick six, but he made sure to let me know that Sam Darnold threw a touchdown pass on his first NFL pass. One with humor there.
True.
He actually did not. He did not want to call the game until it was 48-17, and then he was able to start celebrating. But I'm very in on this, and here's how I think this is going to go. Like you said, the Jets have good receivers. They've got a solid receiving back in Bilal Powell to help out Darnold. Their defense is good. I would say, you know, it's not great, but it's a good defense. Todd Bowles is a defensive-minded coach, and he's not a bad coach. In a league of bad coaches, Todd Bowles is not one of them.
No, he's overachieved all the seasons.
Now, here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen. The Jets, I feel like, are going to get off to a nice little start. I think they've got an interesting game, their home opener against Miami this coming week. That would be huge if they could start 2-0. One of those teams is going to start 2-0. But at some point in the season, like all rookies do, Darnold is going to struggle. And some of that's going to be just rookie wall. Some of that is going to be the Jets' offensive line is not very good. However, I see the Jets in a weak AFC being in the playoff race towards the end, needing to get in that Week 17 game, and that's where you're going to kind of be able to see, okay, yeah, he's still a rookie, but can this guy be different? Can he lead us when he's so young and show how much promise he has? And I think Darnold's going to do that. I'm a full believer in Sam Darnold. I think they squeeze into that second wild card spot, Week 17, and I am in on the Jets making the playoffs. Let's move on to a much more sad place, and that was Baltimore this weekend because Nathan Peterman was murdered and buried for the second time in 2 years. The Ravens destroyed the Buffalo Bills. Not that wasn't expected, but it was quite the beatdown. They looked good in all phases of the game. Joe Flacco now has Michael Crabtree and John Brown as some legit targets to throw to. He's got a great defense behind him as always. Alex Collins did not play well, but at least they have their actual bell cow running back. And, of course, it doesn't hurt to have Justin Tucker as your kicker. Now, the Steelers struggled quite a bit. They tied with the Browns. That was not great. And that was just a very ugly loss in a string of Mike Tomlin ugly road losses. And, yes, I'll call it a loss even though it was a tie, because you cannot be losing that game if you're Mike Tomlin, especially when the Steelers were up 21-7.
21-7 with like 7.5 to go in the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
you wonder how many years the Browns are away. Some people gave them some hype to win the division. I don't think they're there yet. The Bengals had a nice comeback against the Colts on Sunday. They looked like they got things their ship righted a bit on offense, a bit of an improvement to the offensive line, and the rest of the pieces kind of fell into place. But the Ravens were by far the most impressive team, and in a division that the Steelers have dominated for so long, the Ravens are now going to win the AFC North. Are you in or out, Joe?
Well, this one's easy for me because I answered this question last week's brunch. I'm in. They're the best team in this division. They finally have given Joe Flacco weapons, which he hasn't had since they won the Super Bowl. And, you know, the defense is good. John Harbaugh, you know, we don't talk about him anymore, but he's still top five coach, in my opinion. This team's really good.
Of course.
And I don't like the Steelers. And I think that everything happened in a rare occurrence. I think everything that happened in week one in the AFC North is a good indication of what's going to happen going forward.
Joe, I am going to be out on the Ravens winning the NFC North, or excuse me, AFC North. I wasn't really a big fan of them going into the year. I think their defense is solid as always, but you know, I think they are the perhaps the Chiefs candidate for seeing a defensive regression here. You know, maybe getting a little bit of age from Terrell Suggs, no more Haloti Ngata, although he's been gone for a little while, I think. But I'm not super sold on the Ravens. And, of course, if I have to buy into the Ravens, I have to buy into Joe Flacco. I still think that the Steelers win this division. It doesn't make me feel good. We know how bad the Steelers can be on the road. We know what that comes with. Le'Veon Bell will come back eventually. He should come back eventually. And that will open up a whole new dynamic to this offense. Ben Roethlisberger, he's banged up. He's always banged up, but he plays so much better.
He's always banged up. He takes so many hits, and
I know.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous. He looked done in this game. He really did.
Yes.
But I guarantee you, if he plays against the Chiefs on Sunday, I feel like we're going to see vintage Big Ben, and everyone's going to be like, oh, okay, so this is happening again. The Steelers actually have a pretty good defense. I think they've got one of the top units in the league. And like I said, you have so many guys. Juju Smith-Schuster was great on Sunday. Antonio Brown, obviously. And then once Bell gets back, this offense is just going to hum as usual. And if you think about it, if not for a remarkable collapse, they would have won this game by double digits, and we wouldn't even be talking about this. So I think the Steelers probably still got this. I think the Bengals have an outside shot. And you know, I'll give you a little sneak peek into the picks for this week. I don't have them as a lock, but I think Cincinnati beats Baltimore tomorrow night. Or today, as you'll be listening, for those of you who listen on the Thursday. I'm going to be out on the Baltimore Ravens winning the NFC North. Next up, we've got a few more before we get to our Beat the Brunch contestant, and we will stay in the AFC. Actually, we're kind of AFC heavy here. I just realized this, so we'll go NFC more so geared next week, but I was going with some of the hot storylines coming off of week one. There were a lot, and we wanted to get to all the overreactions. Now, this may not be an overreaction, or this may be what people thought all along, but the Jacksonville Jaguars, they snuck out of the Meadowlands with a win. It was an ugly game, but the weather was not great, and you had to figure with those two teams it wasn't going to be a lot of fireworks. But Jacksonville beat the Giants 20-15. They looked good. The defense looked good as usual. Bortles was Bortles. This is essentially the same team as last year, you would think. Now, the Texans and Deshaun Watson especially did not look good against the Patriots on Sunday. It looks like maybe Watson has to play himself into shape a couple of games. The Colts blew a game, and even though Andrew Luck looked good again, the team around him is atrocious. And Marcus Mariota, his time may be running out in Tennessee, because I know that game lasted like 18 hours with all the delays, but it's not a great look when you lose to the Dolphins in the home opener when some people are picking you to win the division. And not only that, but Mariota, as we said on the last podcast, he couldn't stay healthy. He couldn't stay healthy for one game. Derrick Henry didn't do great in that game. They relied more on Deion Lewis. And the Titans just seem a bit of a blah team. So The Jags, they seem like they may be running away with this division, Joe. Are you in or out?
I'm going to be out here because I didn't think the Jaguars looked that good on Sunday. I mean, their defense played all right. They, you know, what are the Giants? I don't really know what the Giants are, but
yeah,
the just Jaguars offense is not, I mean, it's not good. And Blake Bortles made some plays in that game that were extremely questionable. I think one of these teams, these other three teams, is going to step up. And I don't know which one it's going to be. Titans look terrible, but I still kind of feel like the Titans are going to be decent. I still think the Texans are going to be decent. I mean, the Texans only lost by 7 at New England. It wasn't something to – I mean, they were 6.5-point underdogs. They lost by 7. It's not something to jump off the Texans bandwagon for. So I think that the other teams are going to be still pretty good. And I think the Jags – I think the Jags are more of a 9 or 10 win team this year than I think last year they won 12. So that'll keep the other teams in it. I don't think they're running away with this division this year.
Yeah, Joe, I'm going to be out as well. I think the Jaguars are an overrated team, as I stated last week. I'm not still on this team as long as it's quarterbacked by Blake Bortles. So obviously the defense is going to be great, but you're right. They didn't look good against the Giants. And honestly, they theoretically, with all the hype the Jaguars have gotten, they should have dominated that game, and they just didn't. So I don't really love Jacksonville this year. I think Houston will be fine. They were probably supposed to lose in New England anyway. Give Deshaun Watson a couple weeks to get his legs under him. I think the defense will be better when they're not facing Tom Brady, and I still think Houston will win this division. Things kind of happen as you expected with this, so I'm not going to go ahead and go off an overreaction of, okay, the Jacksonville Jaguars were the only AFC South team to win on Sunday. They must be the ones to get that division. I still don't think it's going to happen. They're definitely not going to run away with it. I am out. Now,
all right,
we will end with two more in the Bay Area, on the West Coast. We will start off with Joe, your Niners. Uh-oh, Jimmy Garoppolo lost the game. The Minnesota Vikings were dominating for the majority of the game. It was a little closer at the end, but they still lost by 8. Garoppolo finally struggled. The offensive line did not look great. Marquise Goodwin, he got hurt. The defense was questionable at times. It seems like there is a lot of question marks now with, as we said, the aforementionedly hyped Niners. And I don't know, Joe. The Niners, they might be in trouble here. Are you in or out? You pushing the panic button?
No, I'm very out. I'm actually – I was satisfied with the performance last week. I mean, let's face it. The Vikings are going to the Super Bowl this year. So if this was a matchup in week 9 and the Vikings were 6-1 and the Niners were 5-2 and the Vikings beat them by 8, would anyone bat an eye? I mean, I don't think that there's any reason to panic if you're a 49er fan, as I am. And Garoppolo still threw for 260. I mean, he threw 3 picks. I think 2 of them weren't really his fault. He threw one real bad one at the end. One of them, the pick 6, the guy just fell on his at the top of his route. What are you going to do? The Goodwin injury sucks. I hope he's fine. The running back situation is definitely questionable, but I feel like Shanahan will find a way to get around that. I actually kind of liked what I saw from the Niners defense. I mean, they basically gained the same amount of yards as the Vikings, and this is in Minnesota against a team that I think is the best team in football. Not a bad game for the Niners. I'm very out on pushing the panic button right now. I think the Niners are fine. The Niners' schedule is brutal, though, so they better win this week against the Lions.
Yeah, I'm out as well. The Niners, I don't think, are in any trouble. Again, this is one of those things where if you were looking at the Texans, you don't push the panic button here. Minnesota is probably if not the best team in football, as you said. This was a game they probably should have lost, home opener in Minnesota. The Niners will be fine. Jimmy Garoppolo finally had a bad game as a pro. That's okay. It will happen. It's possible. I do think that, yes, there are some causes for concern, whether it's how good do you think the defense is, how good do you think the offensive line is, how well they'll be able to run the ball with Alfred Morris and Matt Breida, and, of course, what Jimmy Garoppolo will be able to improvise on with the current targets he has. But I think they're fine. I think they've got the makings of a good team. They've got a good coach. And this was a game that they probably were going to lose anyway. The fact that they battled back, I think, it does actually say quite a bit to me. And I think that there were some parts of this game where you know, they showed some flashes and they played pretty well. So I'm out on the Niners being in trouble. I'm not pushing the panic button yet. I still think that this is a good team that will be in the thick of the playoff hunt as we go on. And let's finish it off with the L.A. Chargers. And the Chargers, boy, did they stink up this point. They did exactly what we thought they would. They are who we thought they were, the AFC West favorites, the dark horse Super Bowl pick. The Chargers got beat by double digits at home to the Chiefs. They always seem to do this. They always seem to choke. They are frauds yet again, Joe. Are you in or out?
Well, what's going to happen is the week, the minute that everyone gives up on the Chargers, they're going to go on an 8-game winning streak. But
exactly.
Will that be too late? I think in terms of them being like Super Bowl contenders, they're probably frauds. Although I actually really still do like them. I think that they were dealt the raw deal at the beginning of that game. Like they just things hit them the wrong way to start the game against the Chiefs. And you know, in football, when a series of bad things happen to you early, it's very tough to recover, especially with a pretty good team in the Chiefs. I'm not saying the Chiefs are great, but they're well coached. They did some things at the beginning of the game that just changed the way, probably changed the entire Chargers strategy. The Chargers couldn't do anything that they wanted to do in that game. With that being said, you know, the Chargers never do what you expect them to do. So if I call them frauds, they're going to go on an 8-game winning streak. If I call them Super Bowl contenders, they're going to go 4-12 this year. I don't know what to say. I'm going to be out on them being frauds because I like the team. I think they're still a good team.
Yeah, I'm going to be out as well. This team is way too talented to be frauds. I think this is just an off week one. The Chargers are playing in a soccer stadium. They may struggle at home at times, but I think this team will be fine.
They will be in the playoff
race.
I saw a screenshot of one of the shots of the crowd, and it was literally all Chiefs fans. I mean,
yeah,
it's tough
not,
when you don't have a home field
great.
Advantage.
Not great, but I think they'll be fine. If they somehow lose to Buffalo on Sunday, I'm then pushing the panic button.
Yeah.
But for now,
yeah.
I don't
That's
believe
a, such
they
a such an interesting, intriguing game.
Yeah.
Especially
it is
to pick and bet because it's, I mean,
yeah,
there's
so
many
Josh
different
Allen,
factors.
We don't know what you're going to get. So, so one final thing before we get to the Beat the Brunch contest for week two, and Joe, we say this every year, there's always one game in week one that you look back on after the season's over and you're like, what the fuck? How did that happen that week? Like that makes absolutely no sense. And I want to ask you, what is your, choice for this week one of the game that was such a head-scratcher that you're going to look back after week 17 and be like, yeah, that makes no sense that that happened in the same season as what I just watched.
Yeah. I like this I like this question. I also like at the end of the season going back and looking at the lines from week one and saying how the hell
oh, yeah.
was right. this team this much favored over this team. The game that threw me this week that I think we'll look back on and we will say, how the hell did that happen? This is a good question. You asked me this question before the episode, and I've been thinking about it the whole episode, and I still really – I haven't fully decided on yet. I'm going to say that it's going to be the Titans-Dolphins game.
Okay.
I think the Titans are going to be much better
than the Dolphins. Usually involved in this game.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Titans, I think, are going to be much better than the Dolphins. And a close second for me would actually be that Chiefs-Chargers game. But I'll go Titans-Dolphins.
Well, it's funny you say that because Chiefs-Chargers are my pick. You know, this is a tough one. A lot of these games were, you know, where there were good teams playing each other. There weren't really any eye-popping, you know, action. But I think the Chargers will be much better when these two teams meet. I believe they meet week 15 in Kansas City. I think that by then the Chiefs will not be able to catch the Chargers. I just think this Chiefs team is going to be a little too erratic, and I think the Chargers put it together down the stretch.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's move on to our next segment, and that is called Beat the Brunch.
It's about that time, folks, for the locks of the week.
All right, so with Judd giving us the okay to go, it is time to bring on contestant number two. Now, last week's contestant, Mike Gallo, 3-2. Not a bad performance, but he was beat out by me at 4-1. It's very tough to beat both of the brunch hosts in 1 week. So this week, the man who will be trying to do it, his name is Stave Strong. Stave, welcome to the brunch.
Thanks for having me again. Love that guitar intro. Really high quality stuff right there.
That's Juddy playing. Right. He's playing the guitar while he talks.
Yes, that was all Juddy.
What can't he do at this point?
So, Stave, I'm sure you saw last week, Gallo 3-2, decent performance. We'll do it the same way that we did it last week. We'll let you go pick by pick, and if one of us agrees or disagrees on that specific game, we will weigh in. If not, we'll let you go through your five picks. So, Stave, let's start it out. Give us your first pick here in week two.
All right. First pick is I'm taking Minnesota and I think they're getting a half a point, right? I believe.
Yes, they're getting a half a point at Green Bay. You were taking Minnesota. Are you assuming that Rodgers is going to play, or you think he's going to be out?
I think he's going to play. I still think it's kind of a bet worth taking. If he doesn't play, Minnesota's going to win that game handily. Even if he does play, it's going to be a close game regardless. So I'm taking the half point. If he doesn't play, which it looks like it's kind of getting worse as the news coming out later in the week, I think that's a lock.
All right, so that is Stave's first lock. Chris, anything on that game?
No, I like the pick, though. I like the, Stave's playing the odds here. You know he's going to have to sneak one over on the brunch, and it's kind of making a bet here if Rodgers plays or not. If he plays, then you still got a decent shot to cover. If he doesn't, then you pretty much won the bet.
Correct. And I don't think this line actually may be off the board at this point, but with Beat the Brunch, you get to tackle any game you want. So Stave's taking Minnesota plus a half. All right, Stave, number two.
Number two, taking Tennessee in the 4.5 points.
Similar situation here now because Mariota, he's going to play now. And I think when this line came out, people thought he may not.
Exactly. I think he's going to play. They kind of a funky game week one against Miami with the delays. But they're at home. They're getting 4.5 points. I mean, you gotta take the points at home.
Chris?
Yeah, another smart one from Stave. I'm going with Houston on this one, not as a lock, but I think that Houston rights the ship. And I'm worried if Mariota does play, is he 100% and does he make it through the game? But I see where you're coming from, Stave.
Yeah, I'm actually – the Titans are going to be one of my five locks here. So me and Stave are on the same page here. I think that's too many points, divisional game. I think these teams are about even. Maybe Houston's a little bit better, but not by this much. So I'm on the Titans as well here, plus the 4.5.
Third game. Give me Tampa Bay and Ryan Fitzmagic. Give me the 3.5 points. They're at home. They're getting 3.5 against Philly. Philly did not look good against Atlanta. Nick Foles kind of looked incompetent out there at times. Tampa Bay, I don't think Fitzpatrick's going to throw for, 4 touchdowns again. But they're at home. I'm taking the points.
Stave is a little bit of sharp betting going on for Stave here. He's taking underdogs, home underdogs. I like where he's coming from. I'm agreeing here, too. I like the Bucs plus 3.5. Foles looked terrible last week. I think the Eagles are just going on reputation right now. These teams are a little bit closer than what this line's giving them credit for. Give me the Bucs plus 3.5 as well. Chris?
Well, let's make it a consensus here because I also have the Bucs plus 3.5. So this game will be rendered moot for the brunch, for the Beat the Brunch segment. I think this is a bit of a fishy line. A lot of people may look at this. I bet you public bettors looking at it like, oh, Eagles only have to win by 4 points. That's a lock. But this team is not the same with Foles at the helm. I think they're going to be on the road. They may not be as concerned with the Bucs as they are with other teams, as they are the Super Bowl champs and may only get up for some of the bigger games. I think the defense is obviously very good, but as we saw, Tampa Bay does have the ability to surprise some people, and I think the Bucs play a close, ugly game here. I think that their defense actually will be able to maybe stymie the Eagles a bit, and I think Tampa Bay can at least only lose by a field goal. So I've got Tampa Bay as well, and this game essentially, it does not matter for Beat the Brunch. So now Beat the Brunch becomes a four-game competition.
Yeah, it's now a best of four. So, Stave, choose wisely your final two games here. Let's go with pick number four.
Pick number four, I'm choosing my J-E-T-S, Jets.
Nice.
Jets. I'm going to take them, give up 2.5 points. MetLife is going to be the loudest it's been in, I would say, probably 3 years ever since they played the Patriots and won in overtime. It's going to be rocking on Sunday. I do not think we're going to see another 48-point performance, but Dolphins, not really sold on them that much this year. I think the Jets steal one at home. Later in the year, Dolphins probably take the game against the Jets in Miami. But at home, Jets take care of business. They win by more than three.
Chris, anything here?
Yes, I actually have the opposite. I'm going with the Dolphins here. I think this Dolphins team is sneaky solid. I think with Tannehill back, their offense looked good. I think they got a bunch of weapons with Stills, Amendola, Albert Wilson. We'll see if Devontae Parker plays. Not your household names typically, but guys who each have a special skill set that can be utilized against the Jets. And I think this is a game where the Jets, they're going to be getting the hype after that Monday night game. Sam Darnold, he's going to be hearing all those press clippings. And unfortunately, I think it may get a little bit to his big head, the opposite size of Passiones. I think Darnold may struggle with the whole opener. In fact, I think that it was a bit of a blessing that he opened up on the road. I think sometimes it's harder for the younger quarterbacks to play at home than on the road, because on the road there's almost a bit less pressure in terms of, I can't let these fans down. I think Darnold may struggle in this one. I think Miami surprises the Jets here and spoils the home opener. I know Jets fans like yourself, Dave, are excited right now, but you know as well as I do that the time to go against the Jets is when everyone is on their side. And I'm going to take the Dolphins in week two here.
You gotta clarify that. The Jets are going 6-10 this year. There's no doubt about that. But it was a very good start to the season. And you look at these two games, they got the Dolphins, they got the Browns. It's going to be a good start to the season. Look at the last half of the season, they're not getting many wins. I'm a realistic Jets fan, but I strongly believe Sammy Darnold is going to take us and get a win next week.
All right. So head-to-head, Chris and Stave here in pick number four. All right, Stave, close it out. Pick number five.
Yeah, this one I've been going back and forth. I was thinking about looking at the Patriots-Jags game, but I don't trust Jacksonville against New England. I'm going to go with Chris's Cowboys. I'm going to take our 2.5 points. I think the Cowboys are going to kind of make handy work of the Giants on Sunday Night Football, right, Louis?
Yes, yeah, Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
But they always play on Sunday Night Football.
They always play on Sunday Night Football. Surprisingly, not the first game of the year. I think, honestly, that the Giants did not look well at all on Sunday. I was at the game. Flowers is just incompetent out there. He looks horrible. He can't block. Everyone's on Saquon Barkley and saying, oh, yeah, such a good game. 110. Yeah, but he had a 68-yard touchdown run. You take that away, he has 2.5 yards per carry on 40 yards. I mean, it's not – he didn't have a good game. The Odell Beckham got his, but they were all 8-yard passes. I think the Cowboys bounced back from a loss against the Panthers. They played him pretty well on the road. They only gave up, 16 points. The offense was a little lost, not a lot of receivers, but I think Elliott has a big game on Sunday Night Football, and the Cowboys get the win.
I'm opposite here. I'm actually – the Giants are one of my five locks.
Wow.
I think the Cowboys are in serious trouble this year. I really don't think they're any good. I think the Giants are pretty average, but I think they're better than the Cowboys. So I'm taking the 2.5, and I'll go head to head with Stave. Chris, you have anything?
Yeah, I am actually going to go with Stave, and I am taking my Cowboys as well. This seems like a heavy lock.
Oh,
I mean, I know there's definitely some bias coming from my end, but even the most pessimistic Cowboys fan, I think there's just a better team than the Giants. Their defense is better. And I don't think anyone realizes that. The Cowboys actually have a decent a defensive front. They've got young cornerbacks playing well. They have a great core of linebackers. And they're going to get pressure on Eli Manning. Their offensive line was terrible, and they couldn't do anything against Jacksonville. They did not look good last week. Both teams played tough defenses. I think the Cowboys played a little bit better being on the road against Carolina as opposed to the Giants, who were home against Blake Bortles. But, you know, I just don't think – I think the Cowboys will win the battle in the trenches. I think these are two teams that are – this is a huge game for them. And I think the Cowboys being at home, this line minus 2.5, it says that the Cowboys are not as good as the Giants, and I strongly disagree. I think Dallas is the better team. I definitely have my concerns with them, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's Dak Prescott making a leap, whether it's the receiver's ability to get separation. I think the receivers may be the biggest concern. I think Dak will get there. I think after some time, the offensive line will gel a little bit. They still have some very good pieces. But I like Dallas in this one. I think they win this game, and I'm pretty confident on it. I wasn't going to pick it at first because I didn't want to jinx them. So who knows if that happens, but I couldn't find a fifth lock. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys minus 2.5.
All right. So this week's a little bit of a mess here. The picks will be posted tomorrow, but Stave, best of luck navigating through this disaster that is week two. And you're going to need a little luck to beat both brunch hosts. Hopefully you fare a little
better.
So
I got three same picks as Chris and two same picks as you.
No, you have two same as me and one opposite, and then you have two same as Joe and one opposite.
Yeah, it's winnable. It's winnable, but it's going to be tough.
And we all have the Bucks, so that one doesn't even matter.
All right,
this is
going to
be something,
coming on,
guys.
Buddy. Good luck.
This is
no
certainly
problem.
Something. Thanks, Dave.
All right, Chris, me and you, we have 3 minutes to go here on the episode, so we already said three of our picks each, so let's give our final two each here.
Okay, so I had, just to recap, I had Tampa Bay plus 3.5 like Stave, I had Dallas minus 2.5 like Stave, and I had Miami plus 2.5 opposite of Stave. I'm also going to go with the Cleveland Browns. I think this team is going to be feisty this year, and 8.5 against that New Orleans defense is too much, I think, especially since their offense kind of struggled this week, but they were playing outdoors in Cleveland in the rain. I think they get a little better on the turf, and I think everyone's thinking, okay, this is the bounce back for the Saints. I'm not quite sure. It's 8.5-point bounce back. So I got Cleveland, and then I've got the Colts. I actually really like this one. Everybody saw the Redskins dominate the Cardinals in Arizona, and, you know, I just think that this may be a bit of an overreaction. I don't think that the Redskins are bad. I think they're actually decent. But I don't think there's a 2.5-point difference between them and the Colts. Maybe one. I see the Redskins probably winning this game by 3 or 4. But Indy's going to make it. Indy's going to make it a battle, especially with Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I was debating putting this one as one of my five too. It was between that and the Giants one. Ended up going with the Giants. But so my three that I have out there right now, I have the Giants plus 2.5. I got Tampa plus 3.5. Oh, no, maybe I only had two with Stave.
No, you had another one, I think. Yeah, I feel like you had another one. Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah. All right, my other two, Carolina. This is my favorite one. Carolina's better than Atlanta. I don't know why they're getting 5.5 here. So Carolina plus 5.5, that is my number four lock. And my number five... Oh, I'm sorry. This is in my five. Indianapolis, plus 5.5. That is my fifth lock. So, Chris, we have a couple together as well this week. A lot of agreement and slight disagreement this week, but Indianapolis plus 5.5.
This will be interesting because now, so Stave has one matching up with us. The Bucks. We're all on the Bucks. He has the Titans with you, and he has the Cowboys with me. So that one is a bit moot. Those two, if you want to say those cancel each other out, you could very well say that. I would say because we're both in agreement on the Colts, like Gallo was last week Sunday Night Football with the Bears, and we both got that one, Stave is going to be a huge Skins fan because if the Redskins can cover that game, he is sitting pretty to beat the brunch.
Yes, that is 100% correct. All right, those picks will be posted tomorrow along with all the rest of our picks. Thank you so much for listening to week two's edition of the Sports Brunch. Follow us on Twitter at The Brunch Pod. Like us on Facebook at The Brunch Network and on Instagram at The Brunch Network. We'll see you again next week. Have a great week two. Enjoy the NFL and we will talk to you again a week from now. Have a good one, everybody.